Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you, if you go ahead and look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 8. Judges in chapter 8 on Wednesday nights. Been going through on a Bible character study of Gideon. And we're coming to the end of it, but it's been a tremendous Bible study. I trust that you've been able to learn biblical principles from the Old Testament stories and then looking into the New Testament to see that the biblical principles that we learn in the Old Testament are given to us through Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill the Old Testament and establish New Testament Christianity. These biblical principles are the same. Biblical principles as well as truth never changes. And so it's a blessing to study the stories and then have them presented in the biblical principles. Now, if you would go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading chapter 8, verses 1 down to verse 3. Got a lot of things going on tonight with a lot of different people, but there's nothing more important right now than to just open up your heart and mind to what God has for us, okay? And so all the Vacation Bible School students over there, and I know you got a lot of things to look forward to after this, and I'm going to be a little bit quicker than normal tonight. I might even preach a little faster, so you follow with me. I'm going to let you out before it gets too late. And give you, letting you have a chance to go back and get your other things done in Vacation Bible School. But right now, put all that out of your mind and let's receive a Bible message tonight. Let's receive what God has for us. Judges chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Let's read that back down to verse 3. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord, once again for the life of Gideon and the truths that we can draw from this. I just pray, God, that you would just empower the preaching and the teaching of your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we looked at these three verses as well as the last three verses of chapter 7. And we looked at this as the unbelievable criticism by Ephraim. The unbelievable criticism. Now, what had just happened? God had had taken 32,000 down to 300. And with these 300 soldiers that Gideon had, he was going to be able to defeat 135,000 Midianites. 300 against 135,000. God did not want anybody to say they got the victory on their own. And 300 against 135,000, I don't think that anybody would be able to say, well, we're just better than they, we're stronger than them, and that's why we got the victory. No, it was a supernatural victory that God gave them. 300 defeating 135,000. They had been in oppression from the Midianites for 7 years. For 7 years, the Midianites had been coming in and stealing their harvest from them. The harvest time was a time of rejoicing. The harvest time was a time of joy. And so basically, they had stolen away the joy from the children of Israel. God allowed this because he had judged them for 7 years under the hand of the Midianites. They had no joy, had no rejoicing, oppressed. Now Gideon leads 300 men to defeat 135,000. That is just an unreal feat. That is a hallelujah, praise God, victory. Gideon got as many people involved in that as he could. He called the 31,700 that had been sent home. He got them involved in it. And then he also called on Ephraim, who hadn't sent anybody to the battle, but he called them out to enjoy some of the victory that God had given them. Okay, and so we looked at that last week. It was Ephraim that had this unbelievable criticism. How in the world, if you really stop and look at what God has done, how can we criticize somebody that God worked through to give us this freedom, this victory over 7 years of oppression and was able to defeat 135,000? Why in the world would they have any criticism of Gideon? But they did. It was the Ephraimites that had the criticism of Gideon. And we've seen that this was more of Satan working through the Midianites to try to, working through Ephraim to try to discourage Gideon, to take away Gideon and the 300's joy that they had received in the victory over the Midianites. And this is no doubt, as we looked at this, we looked at the DNA of Satan seen through Ephraim. The DNA, how Satan works. And we studied that last Wednesday night. I trust that was a help to you, understanding how Satan works, because he's the same devil today that he was in the very beginning. He's the same devil. He has the same tactics that he uses. The Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. He's going to come at us to try to steal from us our joy. He's going to try to steal. He's going to rob, kill, and destroy anything and everything that God wants us to rejoice in. Okay, so we looked at the DNA of the devil last week. Tonight, this in these three verses here, we find how Gideon handled the spiritual attack. Obviously, this was a spiritual attack on Gideon and the 300 that had this great victory. How did Gideon handle the spiritual attack? I think that once we realize that Satan is trying to discourage us, when Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy things in our lives, trying to take the joy of the Lord away from us. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. As a born-again believer, you ought to have the joy of the Lord. You ought to have the joy of the Lord going through even the darkest trials and the darkest storms that might come up in your life. God says you can have my joy through it all. But many times our joy is stolen. Our rejoicing is stolen. And so how did Gideon keep from losing his joy? How was Gideon able to defeat the devil? Well, tonight we're looking at that, and we see here he had to first of all acknowledge a spiritual attack of the devil. Satan was attempting to work through Ephraim to hinder their joy. He needed to be able to see that it was a devil working through Ephraim in order for him to deal with the spiritual battle. If you look here, when they come and the Bible says, and they did chide with him sharply. They come to him and they were wanting to tear him down. They wanted to discourage him. They were wanting to take away his joy. Even after this tremendous victory, they didn't want him to rejoice. They were blinded themselves as being an instrument used in the devil's hands. So when we're facing spiritual attacks, we have to look through what Satan is working through and see the enemy. The enemy is not that person. The enemy is the devil. Now that person is not totally free from any kind of blame because they've allowed the devil to work through them. But that's between them and the Lord. Our part, when we see through and we realize that this person is being, Satan is trying to work through this person or this situation to take away my joy, I have to be able to acknowledge this spiritual battle that's taken place. Gideon, the first thing that he did is he did not want to let the Ephraimites take away his joy. He didn't take it personal. He saw through Ephraim to realize it was the devil trying to work through them. The devil had been working through the Midianites. For 7 years, the Midianites had taken away their joy and rejoicing. God restored their joy and rejoicing by giving them this victory over the Midianites. The devil stopped trying to work through the Midianites because now they are defeated, and now he's trying to work through a church member. Ephraim was part of the 12 tribes of Israel. These were family. This was family. This was church family. This was those that believed in the same God, worshiped the same God. And so when they come and chided with him sharply, he didn't take it personal. He looked beyond the person to identify the enemy. Sometimes it is a physical attack. If it's a physical attack, we need to be able to defend ourselves. We need to be able to keep from that physical battle from injuring us. There's a different way. If it's a physical attack, then you deal with it differently as a Christian. nobody, God does not want any Christian to lay down and be a floor mat for other people to walk all over, come in, take whatever you have, do anything they can, and you're supposed to just take. That is not the way God has outlined the New Testament. When you realize it's a physical attack, if they're attacking you or your family, then you had better protect yourself and you better stand up for your family and you have to fight it physically. But when you see clearly that this is a spiritual attack, and they're not really even attacking you, they're attacking what you stand for, they're attacking Jesus Christ, they're attacking Christianity, then you have to deal with that differently. Then you ought to be willing to turn the other cheek. Then you ought to be willing to even sacrifice whatever good you have coming to you for somebody else. If it's a spiritual attack on you, then you have to deal with it differently. But you have to see it as a spiritual attack. That means that it's Satan working through this individual. The Ephraimites had no reason to act this way. No reason to act this way. So that it must have been that the devil had put into them to chide with Gideon and attack Gideon. And Gideon was able to see there's no reason that my brother would be attacking me like this. The Ephraimites would attack me like this. So it has to be a spiritual battle. So I'm going to be able to look through Ephraim. I'm not going to take it personal from Ephraim attacking me. And I'm going to go right to the source of the problem. The true enemy is the devil, is Satan himself. See, we need to live life looking to give others the benefit of the doubt, especially when it comes to a brother, especially when it comes to another Christian, especially when it comes to a family member, when it comes to another church member. You never know what's going on behind the scenes. When somebody acts out of character, there's something going on in their life, and you need to give them the benefit of the doubt. And if they say something out of the way to you, if they somewhat offend you because they didn't shake your hand, they didn't respond to you, your greeting, you need to realize, wait a minute, that's not that person. No devil's working in their lives. They're going through something. And it's not them attacking me, it's the devil trying to work through them to attack me, to make me think something that's not really there, to make me want to stand up and defend myself against this brother. If it's a physical attack, you address it physically. If it's a spiritual attack, you look through it and don't be offended by it. Listen to me, that's something that we have to learn. We have to be able to realize that I want to live looking to give others the benefit of the doubt. I should not want to live my life with a chip on my shoulder and daring anybody to knock it off. Some people live their life that way. That's a terrible way to live a life. That's not Christianity. That's not the way Christ lived his life. Young people, you should never live your life with a chip on your shoulder and just daring anybody to say something out of the way to you, knocking that chip off, because as soon as you do, I'm going to punch your lights out. That's no way to live. Because they might be bigger than you. They might beat you up. Or they might have a bigger brother or a bigger sister. When you pick on their little sister, they're going to come and they're going to punch your lights out. Yeah, no, that's no way to live. When somebody does something out of the ordinary, you have to be able to look through what they're doing and give them the benefit of the doubt. Live with a desire to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Choose to believe that everyone likes you. I tell our people all the time, I choose to believe every member of this church loves me as their pastor. If you don't love me, don't tell me that. Because I choose to believe, if you're a member of this church, you wouldn't be a member of this church unless you loved your pastor, loved your preacher. And when I know that everybody loves me, it helps me, gives me a better perspective. It helps me to even do more to be used of the Lord to help you and to feed you and to strengthen you and to counsel you. How about living your life as if everybody around you likes you? Then you're not living it with a chip on your shoulder. You're not going to be easily offended. You're going to give that person the benefit of the doubt. If you'll do that, can I tell you, Satan will be defeated. He will be. Now, I remember when I was younger and I rode motorcycles. I didn't have that same thought when I was on a motorcycle. When I rode my motorcycle, I had this thought: everybody out there wants to run over me. Because most of the time, they didn't see you on that motorcycle, especially the elderly, and I'm one of them now. But anyway, when I was younger, I thought, you know, come on, can't you see I'm here? And they said, they really couldn't. I remember going down the road, and I was really going pretty fast, and there's a car pulled right out in front of me, and I just barely, I swerved around, and their bumper just kind of went past my leg. It was only by the God's grace that I was not struck. And I looked around, and it was some 80-year-old lady. She had no idea that I was there. She could not judge distance because I was on a motorcycle going so fast. So if you ride motorcycles, don't use the same concept. If you're on a motorcycle, you have to believe that everybody out there is trying to run over you, and so you're not going to be in somebody's blind spot. You're going to be as obvious as you can, or you ride ahead of the traffic, or you get behind the traffic. Do not ride in traffic. That's how you have to ride. That's how I lived and survived riding motorcycles. But that's not how I want to live my life in dealing with people. I choose to believe that people really like me. And if you don't tell me. If you're not a church member, it doesn't matter. I want to choose to give you the benefit of the doubt. No matter what you say to me, no matter how you're going to respond to me, I'm going to choose, first of all, to believe that you really didn't mean that. Because it helps me. It's the best way for me to live. It doesn't take away. If I don't have any expectations from you, you cannot steal my joy. If I don't have any expectations from you, I cannot be offended. If I do not have any expectations from you, I cannot be hurt. If I don't have any expectations from you, I cannot be discouraged by you. Amen. When it's a spiritual battle, Satan's going to try to work through others to take away your joy, to try to offend you, to try to discourage you, to try to hurt you. We just can't let it. Gideon, to know really, I don't believe you meant that, Ephraim. But I know that you said it. I don't believe you meant it. I believe it's the devil trying to work through you to steal away my joy. So he, instead of handling it with a ball bat, because can I tell you that the army that Gideon had at this point would have stayed behind Gideon over what he had just accomplished? They would have went with him to defeat Ephraim. He could have taken a ball bat to Ephraim, and he would have been able to defeat Ephraim. He had all this 32,000 soldiers with him because of what he had done. He chose not to use a ball bat. He chose to use flowers, if you will, instead. He chose to give Ephraim the benefit of the doubt, thinking that it was the devil that was working through Ephraim, trying to defeat him and offend him, take away his joy. He showed great self-control. If you're going to live this way, because that's not the old nature. The old nature will never want you to live that. The old nature is, I don't care why you did it, you did it. So if you swung at me, I'm going to swing back. If you said something out of the way to me, I'm going to say something out of the way to you. Amen. That's the old nature. But who wins when that happens? Nobody. You take the joy away from both people. So when we show self-control, we can do this. you can respond this way. I love what the proverb says, and let me just read it to you. Proverbs chapter 16, and I'm going to let you out earlier tonight, I promise. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, it says this: He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Doesn't matter if you're able to follow through with your threats or not. If you're slow to anger, is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Self-discipline. Discipline yourself not to respond in such a way. Discipline yourself to give that other person, no matter who they might be, especially if it's another brother, especially if it's a church member, a benefit of the doubt. You see, Gideon realized he was not there to defend himself. He was there to glorify God. That's when Jesus said, you're not there to defend yourself, so turn the other cheek if it's a spiritual attack. You're there to represent me. Don't return evil for evil. Don't let that person dictate how you live your life. We must learn to die to self in our service to God. Gideon learned that they weren't attacking me. That's the devil trying to take away the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to respond in a better way so that God is glorified. Colossians chapter 3, turn there with me. That's the Christian life. That's truly the Christian life. Gideon had this principle of living this way. And Jesus has presented it to us. This is the principle. This is true New Testament Christianity. This is how we ought to live our lives. Colossians in chapter 3. In Colossians in chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 1 through 3. If, now it's a big if. You have to ask yourself, am I there? Have I been risen with Christ? Am I saved? Does Christ live in me? Does Christ want to live through me? Am I representing Him? If you are, then if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I'm not here to win my battles. I'm here to glorify the Lord. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things on the earth, for ye are dead. Wait a minute. I'm dead now. No, well, I might be alive physically, but I am alive spiritually through Christ. That means that physically I need to die to self. Paul would talk about crucifying himself daily, dying daily. So he says, for ye are dead, and your life, if you be in Christ, is not your life any longer. If you be in Christ, you are a testimony to Christ. You have a Christian testimony. And the spiritual battle is going to try to steal you of a Christian testimony. Don't let it happen. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Dead. Die to self in our service to God. If you learn this, it'll change your life. If you learn this, you will not be offended by others. You will not be hurt by others. You will not be discouraged by others. Can I tell you, if you learn this, you'll have the joy that Satan was trying to take away from Gideon and his 300. And the victory of joy, rejoicing. Identified the devil. He didn't take it personal. The second thing he didn't do, he didn't respond to Ephraim's words. Go back there with me. Judges chapter 8. First of all, he didn't take it personal. He gave him the benefit of the doubt. He chose not to believe that he meant it. He chose not to believe that he was trying to really hurt him. He chose to believe it was the devil trying to work through Ephraim. And so he didn't get offended by Ephraim. He didn't take it personal. But the second thing is, he didn't respond to Ephraim's words. What were Ephraim's words? What did Ephraim want him to respond to? Chapter 8 and verse 1. Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not? Why didn't you call us to the battle? Now, there was a lot of reasons why he didn't call them. First of all, because they wouldn't have come. They wouldn't come. And second of all, God didn't tell him to call them. He didn't answer that. He controlled the conversation. If you're into it with somebody comes and gets in your face and tries to offend you, trying to do something, first of all, you don't take it personal, especially if you believe it's the devil trying to work through this individual to get me to lose my testimony, to get me to lose my joy, to get me to lose my peace. I don't take it personal. The second thing is I control the conversation. Realize what they're asking is really, you don't have to answer that. That's not what's really taking place here. What's taking place here is the devil's trying to work through them to stir me up, to get me to give a wrong answer, a wrong response. He controlled the conversation. And he says, look at what God's done. Stop being carnal, is what he's telling Ephraim, and look at what God's done. Because he knew he was blinded to what God was doing. Sometimes when you use your words properly, the Spirit of God can convict that person that is blinded to it, especially if they're saved and Satan's trying to work through them, and they can see more clearly that they're out of line. He controlled the conversation in verse 2. Now they asked him this question, then they chided with him sharply, but he did this. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? He's saying, you've done more than I've done. He's not defending himself. He's uplifting the other person. He says, you've done more than I've done. Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim? You see, because you have gleaned over what God has done in battle here. Now, God allowed you to go. He allowed you to kill the two princes of Zeb and Oreb. You've done a great thing here in being able to do what you just did. He's exalting them. He is somewhat minimizing what he's done to try to get them to see what God's done through them. He's controlling the conversation. He says, the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Ebi-Ezer. That word Ebi-Ezer means helper. What you've done, all I've done is a helper. What you've done is better than what I've done. By turning that around, instead of trying to defend himself, saying, what are you, look at everything I've done. You're coming up here criticizing me. And he's taking it for, he says, I'm dead to myself. I'm not here to defend myself. I'm here to glorify God. And he says, God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Your victory is greater than my victory. Look what God's done for both of us. Isn't that great? I trust you see that tonight, because he controlled their conversation and he got them to look to see what God had done in the midst. Gideon did not react to Ephraim's criticism. He acted as a servant of God's. Don't allow others to dictate how you live your life. Don't allow others to dictate how you respond. And yet that's what happens so often. Because we let them control the conversation, then we just respond in like manner. And that's not how a Christian ought to handle a spiritual battle. Romans chapter 12. Everybody follow me tonight? Come on, amen. This is powerful stuff. It'll help you. It really will. If we learn to live this way, if you can truly live this way, discipline your mind, discipline your tongue, and you live this way, it will help you not to be offended, not to be discouraged, not to be hurt. Wow. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That means don't respond in like. He says in verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I am not going to allow somebody else's attitude to cause me to have the same attitude. I am not going to respond. I'm not going to let you dictate how I respond to you. I'm going to respond to you as God wants me to respond to you, because I'm His servant. And spiritually speaking, I'm here to represent Him. To God be the glory, not me and not you. I'm not going to allow somebody else dictate. Now, can I tell you, this is not easy. This is a tough thing to do. But if the more you do it, the more you're able to continue to do it. And when you're able to respond this way, you see, you're going to walk away with the blessings of God. And the blessings of God is you maintain your joy. You retain your rejoicing because you know, God just worked through me. I just represented Him as He wanted me to represent Him in my Christian faith. Wow. That's powerful stuff. Try to get both sides to look to God's Word. If you're in a situation like that, don't respond. Try to get both sides. Say, hey, wait a minute. What does the Bible say about what we're dealing with right now? What would God have us to do here? How would God have us to deal with this? I know you're upset. I don't need to understand. How would God have us to settle this? Pointing back to God. That's what he did. Gideon took him back to God. Look what God has done. And he was willing to, to almost say, I didn't do anything. What you did for the Lord was more than I did for the Lord. You took the princes of these two princes. You defeated them. Now, in reality, Gideon was the one that led them to defeat 135,000. They got the initial victory. But he wasn't there to glorify himself. He wasn't there to puff up his chest. He wasn't there. He was there to represent God. And when this attack came, he said, you're not going to steal our joy. We're going to deal with this in a biblical way. And we're going to come out of this rejoicing. And he trusted possibly that Ephraim would learn from that. They both come out of it rejoicing, but Ephraim didn't learn from it. Go back with me and we're done right here. Judges chapter 12. We need to learn from this. Ephraim did learn from it. Jephthah, the ninth judge, something very similar happened. Chapter 12. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, who God now has raised up to be the ninth judge, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Amnon, and didst not call us to go with thee? Some people never learn. We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. They went too far then. They went too far. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Amnon when I called you. Did you forget I called you? You delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Amnon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim. Ephraim didn't learn. Jephthah did not have the same grace because they went farther than what the others did. And they were defeated. Can I tell you, God wants us to look to Him, to represent Him. But if you go too far, if you fail to be that Christian, God will allow your defeat. Not that He wants it. Let's learn from Gideon. And let's make sure that we respond as Christ would respond and defeat the devil. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Got to learn that. Got to learn that when we have opportunity to learn this. This is a biblical principle that we find in the life of Gideon and very clearly revealed to us. That's New Testament Christianity. Give others the benefit of the doubt. Choose to represent Christ. Right now is an invitation time. God spoke to you. We're not going to have the music playing. God spoke to you. We don't always have a music invitation on Wednesday night. If you have need to come for whatever reason, now's the time to do it. If you're here tonight, you don't know for sure if your eyes were to close in death, that heaven be your home. You can't act that way because you can't act the way Gideon acted because you're not a believer. You don't have Christ in you. You can have Christ in you before you leave here tonight. You can come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't leave here without Him. Anybody else need to come tonight? Father, we bow before You. Love You, Lord. Thank You for the truth of Gideon. And Lord, what we looked at here tonight and how we need to give others a benefit of the doubt, how we need to walk around with grace in our hearts and our minds and wanting to be an encouragement, wanting to rejoice and to represent our Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray that You'd help us all here to leave here and want to be the Christians that You'd have us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.